Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3.
An Odyssey Station.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Friday afternoon. Whether you're listening along on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us. Wonderful, wonderful Friday. It is a Friday afternoon, which means at 2:30, Jeff Russ or will be in play. But right now, WWE is a baseball, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are at the center of everything right now, both on the baseball field and off of it.
Yeah.
Which side of this you want to start on? On the baseball field or off the baseball field?
I don't know. Off.
Let's go off the field. Well, if you have been living under a rock right now, you know what's going on in Los Angeles as it pertains to the protests around Customs and Border Patrol and ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and everything that is going on around there. And it has leaked into the world of sports and the Los Angeles Dodgers because of general location. At least that's what is being said.
Well, yeah, this is a wild story because yesterday it was a bunch of information, misinformation. People just didn't know what was going on. And we've got more clarification on it now than we did yesterday. But yesterday, the Dodgers made a statement saying that they turned away ICE agents who were trying to gain entry to the team's parking lots. Mm-hmm. This kid, when that came out, the Department of Homeland Security says that wasn't us. Like ICE goes, nope, not us. Mm-hmm. Department of Homeland Security says, no, that was Customs and Border Patrol. They were there for an unrelated reason. And the Dodgers posted it was ICE. They weren't, because the agents that were there weren't in uniform. Mm-hmm. They weren't in marked vehicles. It was confusing. They just assumed that it was ICE.
Because of geographically what's been going on in the region.
And the fact that both the Border Patrol and ICE are under Department of Homeland Security, mm-hmm. then people were like, well, somebody's lying here. Well, Department of Homeland Security runs Border Patrol and ICE.
Mm-hmm.
Got that?
Yep.
Okay. There's this association and disassociation with those two, Customs and Border Patrol and ICE being the same thing. So when ICE says it wasn't us, that can be true.
Technically, it can be true.
But the fact that it is an accident that they ended up being there, that really doesn't align with a lot of people because of what the Dodgers have been in the news for as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Because yesterday the Dodgers were supposed to be putting out a statement about the protests in the crackdown that is happening in their city.
Mm-hmm.
Because also one of their players, Kike Hernandez, posted on social media support of immigrants in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. who is Puerto Rican and a Spanish speaker. And then you had a national anthem singer who sang the national anthem, and she was going to sing it in both English and Spanish. Before she went out to sing the anthem, she says, I was told English only. She made the call right when she stepped up to the mic to go sing only the Spanish version of the Star Spangled Banner. Okay. Didn't change the words, just Spanish, not English.
Yeah.
She then posted that she was told she was banned from the stadium. The Dodgers come out over the top and they go, no, you weren't banned from the stadium. You know, did we have questions and a flood of complaints and want for information as to what happened? Yes, but you're welcome back to the stadium. So on the same day that the Dodgers are going to release a statement, because people are saying your players are making statements, national anthem singers are showing support of this, you guys need to say something. It's just some wild coincidence that the agents show up, and that's what Homeland Security and Customs and Border Patrol are saying.
Well, 5 miles away, ICE is raiding Home Depot.
And that is where they said the reason why they went into Chavez Ravine, which, if anybody's been to Chavez Ravine,
it's intentional.
It is not somewhere you're like, hey, we're going to pull over here really quick and do this. They had a raid at a Home Depot in Hollywood, which is 5 miles away from Dodger Stadium. There was a protest that happened when they were instigating executing their immigration crackdown. Mm-hmm. And they said they needed a place to stop so they could do a transfer, a consolidation transfer is what they called it. So the people that they do have, the agents that they have, consolidate them into different vehicles. And they said Chavez Ravine was going to be the place. That is if it's a coincidence, that's a pretty wild one to make there. Because it's 5 miles from where they executed it. Chavez Ravine in Dodger Stadium that's the one thing that people complain about all the time. There's one way in, one way out. One way out, and it is up like a two-lane road. Mm-hmm. And you've got to go up a hill.
If you've ever seen the pictures of going into or leaving Dodger Stadium on like a big game, it is hellacious. The park, like getting out of that parking lot takes hours to get out of there after a game. Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night, not a fun night for anybody.
No. But that has led to now you have the bickering between the organization and
the city,
Department of Homeland Security, ICE, like everybody, and there's just a lot going on around the orbit of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And then you get on the field where the Dodgers are playing the Padres. And in this series, I believe the total count now is 11 Padres were hit by pitches.
Yeah,
in
man.
This series. A lot of dudes getting plunked, including big names like Shohei Ohtani and Fernando Tatis.
Dude, this is getting gnarly. Yeah. Between these two teams.
These two teams hate each other. Now, thankfully, nobody has been stabbed or beat to death like we have seen between the Giants and Dodgers before.
We had two really good teams that do not like each other in the Dodgers and the Padres.
And it's this part of it, great for baseball. Not guys getting drilled, but players and teams hating each other, great for the game.
So Mike Schilt and Dave Robertson, they got into it yesterday during their game. The final of these two teams have played 7 games in the last 11 days. They've seen a lot of each other recently.
Familiarity breeds contempt.
There is bad blood that is boiling over. Guys have been getting plunked left and right. Yesterday, Fernando Tatis got hit in the right hand, and he went in for x-rays. They were inconclusive, but it was, and he's going to have further imaging. Mm-hmm. Where did you see what Manny Machado said?
Mm-mm.
He said that they need to be lighting candles hoping that what happened is not significant injury to Fernando Tatis, because they go inside on Tatis a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And to put that into perspective, this is the second time in 3 days that Tatis has been hit by a Dodgers pitcher. Mm-hmm. It is the fifth time in the last 2 seasons and the third time in the last 9 days. If you go back, the Dodgers have plunked Tatis 6 times in his career. The rest of Major League Baseball has combined for 4. So
there's some targeting going on there.
There is. But then the Padres follow that up by putting 100 mile an hour into the shoulder blade of Shohei Ohtani,
which is not going to go well.
No. And look, Ohtani, to his credit, like,
took it and
he
went.
Knew it was coming, and he calmed everybody down and was like, hey, this stuff needs to stop. The game was 5-0 when Tatis got drilled. Yeah. And so Schilt was like, dude, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Also, Shohei's a pitcher. Like, he knows.
Yeah, you know what's coming. Yeah. I think it's good for baseball when you have rivalries that get amped up to this point.
Don't get anybody hurt. But like,
and that's it, yeah. Is that the Dodgers, with the amount that they hit Fernando Tatis Jr.
Especially when you're talking about aggressive. Hands and stuff like that. Look,
and the way, where you're throwing at a guy,
put it in the butt or put it in the upper arm and shoulder. And
that's like, why I don't think the Padres were the Padres. Look, if you're putting 100 in the shoulder of a guy, the back of a guy.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That is a little much.
Yeah, you throw the breaking ball a little high or you get him in the rump. Like you know where you need to hit somebody.
And these guys are they're taking the unwritten rules a little too far, but good rivalries.
Yeah,
I like it.
Look, we're talking about baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when it gets feisty and it gets amped up, and it's not just the bench clearing, it's like...
See, this goes back to what we talk about with the NBA all the time, though, in that the NBA didn't know how to frame this finals.
Mm-hmm.
Because for years, they have had their eye on a different prize.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the one that's in front of them, which is the product on the floor, and the evolving of your stars and cycling out of your stars. And they haven't handled it properly, and they haven't focused on team. They focused on the individual so much. Baseball has focused so much on the controversy instead of the product that we just talked about Jacob Wilson of the A's. And you were like, I am not familiar with the man. He is putting up Tony Gwynn-esque numbers to start his career.
Because it's the A's. Not his numbers.
No, it's not.
No, I mean, my lack of familiarity is because he's with
no,
the A's.
It's not. It's because of baseball.
Yeah.
It's because of baseball. Like they are so gun shy on promoting what good is happening in their game.
Remember
because
Mike
they've
Trout.
Been burnt.
Yeah.
They've been burnt so many times, whether it was the PED era or it is the fact that sometimes these guys come and they shine, but they're a one hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? People still remember those guys from yesteryear.
Yeah. They have a monster season. It's the NFL, the running back, Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, we remember
that train. The cover of Madden.
Like, yeah.
Just an absolute dude. Him and Lorenzo Neal running people over.
The big dumper right now. Like, there's a lot of people that don't know Cal Raleigh with, what'd you say it was, Russ? 22 games?
22 left? Games left.
22 games
in the first half.
22 games before the All-Star break. And this guy has already set the mark for home runs by a catcher
in MLB history.
Yes. Baseball is just like, I don't know if we should do it. Hey, look, the Yankees are playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
they
fall
back on.
Hey,
the Dodgers and Padres are fighting.
To where it's the most extreme of what the NBA does. Because the NBA goes individual, individual, mm-hmm. individual. We're going to shove this individual down your throat.
And then they're going to get in trouble and we're going to look stupid.
Whereas Major League Baseball is like, look at the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And
fall back on those two over and over again.
And the Red Sox as well, mm-hmm. because the Yankees and the Red Sox, they are their bread and butter for baseball. Whereas you could do some really good stuff in like baseball. Adley Rutschman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great start to his career. Hadn't been playing great.
No.
But at the same time, you could still push that player forward to us while he's great. And then... if he falls off, he falls off. But you know what? That's a great thing about baseball.
It's not a sunk cost. There's more guys coming.
It's like they don't want us to have it seared into the back of our brain. You know, Ken Caminiti has an MVP-worthy season.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but no, we remember those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and those are fun. Those are fun seasons to follow for guys, even if it's for 1 year or 2 year or 3 years, and it's not a superstar that stands the test of time.
Josh Hamilton.
Give me more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the greatness. And speaking of the greatness, you've heard it in Jeff Ross update through and throughout today's show. Two words, the best two words in sports, game seven. Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers are heading towards a game seven on Sunday. What needs to happen for the unthinkable to transpire in the Indiana Pacers to come home with a title? We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The common pick for the NBA Finals was probably somewhere between Oklahoma City in 5.5 games. Some did go to the extent of saying 5. I think most said OKC in 6. But we are now going to see a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. And the Indiana Pacers have already achieved the unthinkable by getting here. And I think a lot of people, and we've talked about this so much, thought the Pacers would just be happy to be here. And I beat the drum. Like, this is not a team that's okay with just being here.
What a stupid take that is, that they would just be happy to
be
here.
It was an insane thing.
It's the NBA Finals.
And they didn't look at themselves and think, we got lucky to be here.
No, they were grinding it out.
They were beating teams in multiple ways, in exciting fashion, and playing a brand of basketball it's truly fun to watch. But it's interesting. Vegas, for the first time, is making an adjustment. Have you seen what the line is for this game?
No, I'm guessing that it's not 14.5 like it has been for double digits for most of the OKC home games.
The lowest line of the series for OKC at home, 8.5.
Oh.
Still high.
Well, 9.5 was their game 5, right? Mm-hmm. Was it 9.5?
Now it's 8.5.
But it was like 11.5, then 14.5, mm-hmm. 9.5. Now we're down to 8.5. Yeah. All right.
So there's at least a little bit of movement there. And historically, if you look at game sevens, most of these games aren't played in the hundreds.
Yeah.
Like if you go back to 2016.
I see that 6.5 right there on ESPN.
Oh, ESPN bet's dropping it down even further. All right. So there we go. And honestly, I think that's closer to what it'll be because these games do slow down. Every possession starts to matter and the pressure and just the culmination of all of it will come down. Everybody remembers the Miami Heat winning that series. What they forget is Chris Bosh going 0-for-5. Shane Battier went 6-of-8 from 3 in that Game 7. That was the guy who did it off the bench for them. Yeah, Braun had, 37 in that game, and Wade goes off. Yeah. But there's another guy that steps up. There's three guys for the Heat. It was Bosh, Mike Miller, and somebody else combined to go 0-of-14 from the field. 0-of-14. Guys, you don't expect to do that. But all of a sudden, here comes Shane Battier, 6-of-8 from 3. And that's the difference maker. And when you look at basically all of these Game 7 results in the history of the NBA, there's just kind of a one-off guy. There's a big shot Bob, or there's a Shane Battier. There's a guy that pops and just shows up in these series.
Look, to put it into perspective, this is only the 20th time? This is the 20th Game 7 in NBA Finals history that we'll have?
I thought it was less than that. I thought it was the 8th or 9th.
It's 20.
No, it's 20.
Since the merger, yeah.
Not since the merger.
No, it's 20. No, it's happened 19 times before, because I saw a tweet earlier that said that Bill Russell played in, and I believe won 5 of those.
Yeah. Good Lord. So this is, it's really rare. This is the first one we've had since 2016, mm-hmm. the Cavs-Warriors. Like, if you go down historically, we are in a massive gap between Game 7s and the NBA Finals because they were in 2016, 13, 2010. So there's 3 years in between each one of those. Mm-hmm. You had 2005 Pistons Spurs. Then you had another big gap, 94. And then you had 88. Like these are far between that we get Game 7s. And that's where this series has been boring. You haven't really been watching if you think it's been boring. What I will agree, Game 6 last night, not being the basketball addict that you are, I was like, last night was boring. That was a boring game to watch.
Can I give you the counter take to that?
No, because in the second quarter, the game was over.
To me, what made it good was the Pacers' ability to make the Thunder have the worst game they've had all season. It was the most turnovers they had. It was one of the worst shooting performances they've had. Their offensive production was the worst they've had. Like, for the Pacers to be the team that took this historically great team by basically all of the data to make them have the worst game of the season when they can win an NBA title, to me, that's fun to watch.
Like I said, you're a basketball addict.
I am.
They scored 35 points in 2 quarters mm-hmm. of play. Like, that was not good basketball.
No, it wasn't good basketball. I was blown away by what the Pacers were able to do.
And that is, I was too. But then it got to the point where I was like, man, this is done.
Sure.
And that was the first game of the 6 that got to that point. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that these teams are wearing down at times, but that was an Indiana team that had their back against the wall. Hallie said it best after the game, and I like him, man. He's got some swag to him, and he just isn't afraid to say what we all know this is what they were thinking.
Yeah, we just wanted to protect home court. You know, we didn't want to see these guys celebrate a championship on our home floor, backs against the wall, and we just responded. So many different guys chip in. Total team effort. Really proud of this group.
We didn't want to see him celebrate on our home floor.
No. Hell no.
Like, it's like, that's how they played. They were like, they're not having a celebration in our house. It's not going to happen. If it's going to happen, it'll be on their place, or we're going to be celebrating there.
The other part of this is, I thought it was really cool that the other Pacers players, in a way, had Halliburton's back, knowing their captain is not 100%, and everybody came together. TJ goes out there and has a hell of a game. Pascal has a hell of a game. You look up and down the roster. Before Obi finally scored his 20th point, they were going to win this game by this much without a single player scoring 20. And that just shows you up and down the roster, everybody was bought in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. If the Pacers are going to pull off this upset, that's the mentality they have to go in with. It has to be everyone pulling the rope.
Yep.
And that is what has made this team this team. It's not an individual. It is the sum of its parts. And if they can go out there and do that one more time, they will pull off one of the biggest upsets in finals history.
And I do hate it that because it's Indiana, what they did last night is not going to be celebrated like it should.
Because
they did was they put the clamps down on
they
a team
the
that
hell of a
has
great
been
team.
Really hard to do. Like, do people forget that this Thunder team won 69 games? Like, they were on the precipice of historically good.
You know what else happened with that loss?
What?
The Thunder are no longer a part of the...
Or 68 games.
68.
68?
Yeah, 68. The Thunder are no longer a part of the 20 loss group. They are now at 21.
Ah, suck it.
And basically, it's a marker of historically great teams that win titles. If you win a title, including the playoffs, you suffer less than 20 losses in the entire season. They are no longer in that club, which drops them down a rung when you're talking about legacy of teams. Because the teams that have done it in under 20, they're the all-timers.
Well, I remember a Warriors team that lost under 20 games and
73-9, and
they didn't win a title.
It's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough.
It's hard out here.
All right, coming up next, it's Friday. It's 2:30-ish, which means time for Jeff Russ, America's number one game show. But here's the Big Kahuna himself with the Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Friday afternoon. It's 2:30-ish. The music is right. It's time for Jeff Ross, America's number one game show. Jeff Ross, take us away.
Hard pivot from Ambrosia to Benny Hill.
That's just
Yackety sacks here, huh?
That's just how much I feel. We've been saying it, or I've been saying it all day. The best two words in sports. Game 7. Pacers and Thunder, Oklahoma City for the whole shebang. Just when you thought the Pacers down for the count, they come back. And no doubter last night, a certain person on Twitter, I don't know who this guy is, Damon Rangula, at Damon R., pointed out marked similarities between this series and the conference semifinals between the Thunder and the Nuggets. Game 1, lose on a miraculous game winner. Game 2, easy win. Mm-hmm. Game 3, lose by 9 in the conference semifinals. They both lost by 9 in both of them, excuse me.
Okay.
Game 4, gutsy win by 5. And for this round, he said gutsy win by 4, but it was 7 anyway. One mistake. What are you going to do? Game 5, solid home win. Series licks over. Game 6, surprising road loss when favored by 5.5. What happened in Game 7 of that series against the Nuggets? A 32-point win. So, Game 7 goes like it did in the conference semis.
Or
that's just too many coincidences.
I love my guy, Domin. Great dude. His only real flaw is that he's a Lakers fan, and it's a terrible, terrible thing.
That's a tough one to overlook.
But
that is an awful
character flaw.
That it's a human trait.
Yeah. It's not good, but he's great dude.
We need to That needs to stop.
But I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go with my heart.
Oh.
I'm going to go with the Pacers. They find a way to have the biggest upset since Rick Carlisle's Mavs knocked off those Heat.
Reggie going to be courtside, do you think?
Oh, yeah. He'll find a way.
You think so? They're going to let him. They're going to let Reggie sit courtside there?
I think they'll find a way.
What do you think? Spike maybe invites him over, sit right next to him?
Spike Lee is going to go to Oklahoma City?
That's a brain fart. I had another stroke.
not in Indiana or New York.
I was like, Spike Lee's going to go to Oklahoma City for this?
He might.
He might. You never know.
You never know.
It's game seven, and they don't pop up. I'll tell you right now, there's going to be some royalty sitting courtside, even in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Can I say I do love Reggie Miller wearing a new former teammate's jersey every time? He's wearing Jalen Rose last night.
With the French tuck.
Yeah.
Showing the belt buckle.
Dude. That needs to stop, Reg. It was bad enough when you wore a hoodie, light hoodie underneath with the shirt poking out. He's an old man now.
Look, he is.
He's an old man now.
It's okay.
And I'm not gonna blame him for it. He's just an old man. What was your question?
Game 7 goes like it did in the conference semis with a huge blowout for the Thunder, or that's just too many coincidences?
Ooh, I'm going to go too many coincidences because 32 was, that game was lights out, nap time, over.
And Porter Jr. was playing with one arm. Aaron Gordon was playing with one leg.
Yeah.
They were cooked.
I think we see this game tighter, but OKC wins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton bothered the last couple of games with a calf strain. He's averaging 14.8 points per game this season, 44.7% from the field, 31.7 from three, 6.8 assists per game. Halliburton's over-under for game 7 currently set at 15.5. So, Hallie needs to hit the over for the Pacers to win.
Or
don't matter, just don't bite it.
Normally I'd say yes, but they can... As long as he's effective as he was in this last game where he can move without the ball, he doesn't have to score. If he does score and he gets over 20, the Pacers are going to win this by 5+.
I don't think he needs to. I don't think he needs to. What he did last night was perfect. Mm-hmm. He was exactly what they needed. I think that they can solve a lot of the issues, especially with that half-court defense being as swarming as it was. OKC can have a counterpunch to that. They just didn't. They couldn't shoot last night. Contested, which were most of them, or open looks. They just ball no folly through hoopy. And I don't think that happens again. It keeps it closer.
No.
Well, we've known for a bit. This will be the seventh different NBA champion in as many years. Pacers or Thunder, each with a shot to win their first championship. Right, Dusty?
That's right.
Yes.
Prior to the season,
Seattle still holds that 78 title.
Yes.
Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Prior to the season, starting in 2019, you have the Raptors, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors, Nuggets, and Celtics. And I know we still got the NBA draft and free agency ahead of us, but... Looking ahead to the 2025-26 season, are you taking one of those teams
or
the field?
Oof, that's a tough call. I think
How many of those teams?
Raptors, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors, Nuggets, and Celtics, and then you'll have either the Pacers or Thunder.
I'm not taking any of them.
No.
I'm taking the field.
Taking the field?
Yeah, I'm
going in the field.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Yep.
I think this current CBA is going to be defined by kind of one and dones.
It's really hard to repeat,
yeah.
First of all.
Look at the Celtics.
And then every other team that you just mentioned, Raptors, come on. every other team has a fatal flaw, right? Mm-hmm. L.A. currently, and you asked this question on June 20th, so don't try to play this back after the Lakers get a center and they swindle somebody for him. But Lakers don't have a big and lack substantial depth, right? Mm-hmm. Celtics going to be without Tatum and have really tough decisions that they need to make on their roster this year. Like, Nuggets, they've got some serious soul-searching they need to do with their roster as well. Like, Warriors, old. Every single one of these teams has got real legitimate questions, except for the Thunder, and the biggest one for them is back-to-back is really damn hard.
Yep.
We're going to move over to the NFL early Tuesday morning. Browns rookie quarterback Shedeur Sanders cited for driving over 100 miles an hour. Apparently, it was the second time just this month.
I am so stunned.
Yeah. Apparently, the second time just this month he was cited for speeding on June 5th, stopped for driving 91 in a 65. And in that case, he failed to appear at an arraignment for that citation on Monday. Assuming the Browns find a way to get out of the Deshaun Watson business, they still have Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Sanders. So, who will be the odd man out? Sanders
or
one of those other three?
As crazy as it sounds, I think it's Sanders. I almost wonder if he's doing this on purpose.
Well, I don't know. Like, I say I'm shocked. I'm stunned a young person, not even Shedeur Sanders, a young person was driving fast.
Yeah, and he's right? got a Maybach, right?
But, yeah. But, like, that is not surprising. I'm not stunned by that, and I'm not going to hold it against Shedeur Sanders that he was driving fast.
Twice, though, is too
well,
much.
The not showing up is a big one. And look, he's a backup quarterback. And the worst thing that you want is your backup quarterback to be any sort of distraction.
Any attention at all.
Tim Tebow didn't get jobs because of it. Tim Tebow, say what we want about him as a professional quarterback, took a team to the playoffs and won a playoff mm-hmm. game.
And right? off the field, you're not worried about him.
But well, he was a massive distraction because he was always a bigger story than the starting quarterback. And no matter who the starter is, whether it is Flacco, or Kenny Pickett, he's going to be the backup. Mm-hmm. Distractions don't, and look, the only thing is Jimmy Haslam may force that hand, but if he keeps getting himself into headlines for not football stuff, then that gives the ammo to the football guys to be like, we didn't want him in the first place. You made us draft him. He's okay.
But we're going to cut him loose.
But he can be a distraction for us. Do we want that? No. And they've already sold the jerseys.
I've
already been sold.
Yeah. We're up against it here, but we'll get this one in here quickly. The Mariners, as they entered play on May 24th in Houston, they had a record of 29-21 with a run differential of plus 22 and a 3.5 game lead over the Astros. Since then, after today, their 9-4 win over the Cubbies, they are now 9-15 since then with a run differential of minus 15 and trail those Astros by 4.5 games. Will the real Seattle Mariners please stand up? Which is their true identity? The first 50 games
or
the last 23?
Somewhere in between because 24 that's now, excuse what me. They are. They're a roughly 500-ish club. And this
well,
is
we know they are built to be win 54% of their games. Mm-hmm. All right? Yeah, I mean, I think there's panic amongst Mariner fans because it actually jump-started in the series against Seattle. But the Astros have gone on a tear of their own that's just coincided with the dip in the Mariners. Water finds its level. The Astros aren't going to be as dominant as they have. And look, they just, case in point, they just lost 2-4 to the Athletics. I almost called them Oakland.
There you go.
Then I stopped myself because they don't have a team. No. They don't have a city. They're just the Athletics. They just lost dropped 2-4 to the A's. Their schedule is pretty soft, but at the same time, the next three series are good series. Like the Astros have the if you nobody probably follows this, they have the 30th strength of schedule in MLB of 30 teams for the remainder of the year. But their next three series are against the Angels, who have been playing much better baseball as of late. Then they have the Phillies and the Cubs. Mm-hmm. They'll start coming back down to earth. The Mariners are going to find their level. Don't panic. It's not as bad as it seems. No, don't.
And by the way, after today, the Mariners now winning percentage of 5-1-4, 5-14.
Hey, look at that.
There you go.
Look
at that. That's kind of where they are. All right, that'll do it for Jeff Ross, America's number one game show. Coming up next, we wrap today's show. The locals, the WNBA side that will partake in basketball very soon. We have a name, at least. That's what the legal filing says.
This text, Kirk Cousins cited for driving 40 miles under the speed limit.
That tracks. But we'll get to the WNBA next here on Danny and Dusty today, the fan.
Go around.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080, the fan.
All right, we got to get to this one quick because we've got to get the update from Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross. From Jeff Ross.
Roastmaster's here.
I've been called worse things.
There you go. But Sean Hyken of Rose Garden Report did the reporter due diligence and found the trademark filings for the Portland Fire. And
I love Hyken, but that is, man, you're really digging when you're going,
hey, look, man.
What trademarks do we have going here?
It's proper reporting, though. This is not the worst kept secret, but it was been out there for a while that they were going down this path because they tried some other names and they were running into roadblocks with legalese, copyrights, trademarks, all the kind of stuff that they wanted to do. And it does very much look like the Portland Fire is indeed going to be the name. I'm okay with it.
I didn't like the name back then. I like the people like, oh, great, for your season is in the summer and our state catches on fire right in the middle of your season every year.
I mean.
But at the same time, it's like, it's not, it was a throwback name. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not like it's a legacy name. The Portland Fire were only here for 2 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you run into all the roadblocks, I guess your hands are tied.
And you want to make your own imprint and all those things, but also the branding. I thought the branding was entirely fine. So that is the path. And
well, they styled P for the logo too.
But the
I don't know what that means.
Their Twitter pages released some of the information. Not the fire, but the name will officially be unveiled later this summer. And they kind of went into the deposit stuff and what's kind of you can expect to see coming. So expect to see some more news as it pertains to the WNBA organization.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's getting closer, and this is the right time to be in the WNBA business. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's never been more chatter or buzz about that league than there is right now.
Yeah, don't put your hands on Caitlin Clark.
Don't you do it, even though, like, she talks a lot of smack.
She does, and that's why you have Sophie Cunningham out there to play the enforcer.
And I like that.
I do, too.
I like that, but what I love is that Caitlin Clark's like, yeah, I don't like being the center of attention because of this, because look, people run their mouth in the NBA. Guess what happens? The same type of stuff that's happening to Caitlin Clark, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't matter that she's white.
No.
It's any player in any sport. I think, like, in the WNBA, they're like, we're sick of her S.
This is Jordan rules.
Yes,
it is.
You want to run your mouth and be better than us, then we are going to foul you. And when we do, we're going to foul you hard.
And this is why you have a Steven Adams on your team.
And she is totally okay with it.
She knows the rules.
Yeah.
All right. But Jeff, you do have an update from...
Boy, you hit something on the head, though. Steven Adams, strikingly handsome man. Mm-hmm. Sophie Cunningham, very attractive.
Yes, but also...
Like, you can enforcer.
You can catch these hands.
Yeah, let's go.
yeah, so we were talking about Al Leong earlier, who's that one Asian guy that's been in a bunch of things that you've seen on TV or movies,
Genghis
but you
Khan
have no idea
Bill
what his name is.
Boy, this is way far away from the conversation when you frame it like that.
Yeah,
it's not like it's not as wholesome as the way this conversation started. So if you are finding yourself offended by what Russ just said, please go back in the podcast. Yep. Just listen to the very first segment, and you'll realize why he cut it down to that
I do forget how he originally came up in the conversation. But anyway, his career started as a circus performer at a funeral in 1981's Going Ape alongside Tony Danza, Danny DeVito, and Arrested Development's Jessica Walters.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Then he ran the gamut of 80s network television. The Greatest American Hero, Heart to Heart, Knight Rider, Magnum P.I., The New Mike Hammer, The Equalizer, Hunter, Airwolf, The Twilight Zone, The Fall Guy, T.J. Hooker. What else was in here? Big Trouble in Little China, that, of course, you know, not the TV show, but a movie. We've got The A-Team. He was in Lethal Weapons, Spencer for Hire. She's Having a Baby. That one's a little bit out of the ordinary.
Basically everything I watched as a kid.
I don't believe he was in Die Hard.
Yeah,
yes.
He's the guy that grabs the baby Ruth off the counter when they're coming down. And the only reason I remember that is because I watched part of Die Hard yesterday when I was working.
Yeah.
And the second that name came into my head, because it's promotional stuff that's put in the movie, so how they snuck it in. It's a Hershey's bar or a baby Ruth. And they like flash it to the camera, and I was like, "Oh my God, was that him?" Like that literally just clicked.
And then
that guy rocks.
He's been in everything.
Genghis Khan in Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
That's how he came up. Is Bill and Ted?
Yes.
And he played Genghis Khan.
Oh, by the way, one of his last roles previously in an action comedy called Awesome Asian Bad Guys.
There you go.
Wait, that was recently?
2014. Okay. But that was one of his most recent credits. Yes.
Interesting. All right,
there you go.
Well, that does it for us for the week. What a way to end it. What a way to end it. Coming up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac and Buck. No soup. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Bye.
Now I have a huge pickle problem.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.